At 11:05, I was standing at my desk, facing the open front door, when I saw the minister's car go up the quarter, with Harry Williams sitting in the passenger seat beside him. They were on their way into Bayonne. I told my students to put away their things quietly. Before letting them go, I reminded them that I didn't want any running or loud talking and that I wanted them all back at school no later than 11:45. When they had all gone, I sat down at my desk facing the door. I did not want to think. I wanted to sit there until I heard, but not to think before then. No, I wanted to go to my car and drive away, to go somewhere and lose all memory of where I had come from. I wanted to go. I wanted to... God, what does a person do who knows there is only one more hour to live? I felt like crying, but I refused to cry. No, I would not cry. There were too many more who would end up as he did. I could not cry for all of them. Could I? I wished I could telephone Vivian, but there was not one telephone, public or otherwise, between here and Bayonne that I could use. I would see her tonight, though. I would definitely see her tonight. I need to see you tonight, my love. But who was with him? Who is with you, Jefferson? Is he with you, Jefferson? He is with Reverend Ambrose, because Reverend Ambrose believes. Do you believe, Jefferson? Have I done anything to make you not believe? If I have, please forgive me for being a fool. For at this moment, what else is there? I know now that that old man is much braver than I. I am not with you at this moment because... because I would not have been able to stand. I would not have been able to walk with you those last few steps. I would have embarrassed you. But the old man will not. He will be strong. He is going to use their God to give him strength. You just watch, Jefferson. You just watch. He is brave. Braver than I. Braver than any of them. Except you. I hope. My faith is in you, Jefferson. The children returned from dinner as I had asked them to do, and at 11:50, I lined them up before the door. When the last one had marched into the church, I went to my desk to face them. In a couple of minutes, it will be 12:00. I will ask you to get down on your knees and remain on your knees until I ask you to get up. Are there any questions? Louis Washington, Jr. raised that grimy little hand again.
Is you gonna bow down too, Mr. Wiggins?
The proper way to ask that question is, are you going to bow down too, Mr. Wiggins?
You gonna bow down too?
I'll be outside, I told the class. Irene, you, Odessa, and Clarence are in charge. All right, please, on your knees. I'll tell you when to get up.
We need to pray?
Louis Washington, Jr. wanted to know. Yes, I told him, but quietly, to yourself. Several of the larger girls knelt on scarves or handkerchiefs. I took up my waistcoat and went out through the front door. I had no idea what I would do while I waited to hear from Bayonne, but I found myself out in the road and walking up the quarter. It was a couple of minutes after 12, and I was trying not to think. But how could I not think about something that had dominated my thoughts for nearly 6 months? It seemed that I had spent more time with him in that jail cell than I had with the children in the church school. Where was he at this very moment? At the window, looking out at the sky? Lying on the bunk, staring up at the gray ceiling? Standing at the cell door, waiting? How did he feel? Was he afraid? Was he crying? Were they coming to get him now, this moment? Was he on his knees begging for one more minute of life? Was he standing? Why wasn't I there? Why wasn't I standing beside him? Why wasn't my arm around him? Why? Why wasn't I back there with the children? Why wasn't I down on my knees? Why?